I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz. I've decided that every few weeks I want to spotlight a woman who has done big things in business, who's got herself high up on the corporate ladder, so to speak. And I'd like to speak with women who are, managing all the things. I think it's important for women to hear stories of other women and hear how they did it. And I struggle a little bit sometimes because I'm like, frankly, no one asks men how they balance children and go to work. And so I get resentful that I actually have to have these discussions. But nonetheless, here we are and we have to have these discussions. And I think it is helpful for other women to hear other women's stories about how they manage all the things. So joining me now is Ashley Peck. She's a partner at a law firm called Holland and Hart. Ashley, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Lindsay. Happy to be here.
Okay, so asking you a very broad question just to start. How did we get here? How did you get into law? How did you know you wanted to go into it? And then how did you work your way towards a partner?
Yeah, this is not what I had planned to do when I was a kid. I have no lawyers in my family, so this is not something that I had always dreamed of. I actually went to journalism school for undergrad, interestingly enough, and loved writing and communication and ended up veering into environmental policy and working for environmental nonprofits. And so I practice environmental law now and do permitting litigation. That's what I've always done in law, but I sort of found that in a roundabout way and realized I love writing, love public policy and like the problem solving aspects of law. So after undergrad, I decided I wanted to continue with grad school, looked at going to public policy and then kind of never thought about law school, but started thinking about it, looking into options. And it turned out to be the right place for me. I have always worked pretty much exclusively for law firms and have loved the variety that we get there. But have a wide variety of different types of clients, from municipalities to large corporations and different industries. And I just get a lot of variety there. So I just found that it suited my personality and suited what I like to do well and stuck it out. And I still love my job. So.
And tell me a little bit more about why the niche of environmental law. That sounds like such a unique thing to practice.
It is. So I do a lot of water quality work, contaminated sites work, all the glamorous things like dirty water and dirty dirt. But I actually grew up here in Utah and moved to Colorado and worked in the nonprofit sector doing public policy to do with water quality, rivers, and just really love the subject matter. And then in undergrad, I did a minor in environmental policy and kind of science writing. So I wanted to meld my love of environmental science with writing and communication. And it turns out that's pretty much exactly what I do now. So what I do on a day-to-day basis is I don't go to court a lot. I do have cases that go to litigation and we are actually appearing before judges. But for the most part, I'm working with clients to solve problems on the front end, whether through permitting large projects or obtaining permits for like wastewater treatment plants or mines or things like that, or dealing with when things go wrong and improving situations. And so it's a wide variety of things, but largely it's summed up by helping clients solve their environmental problems and environmental compliance.
So you work with them, to help them understand what things are not going to get them in trouble.
Yeah, well, and how to comply with the regulations, because most of the industries that I work with are heavily regulated and the regulations aren't always terribly clear, and are working through the solutions to those issues and different permitting.
It sounds so fascinating, and smarter women than I am are doing better jobs than I am.
Yeah.
I just talk for a living, so there's that.
We all have our things we like. It's a very nerdy in some ways.
So. No, it's awesome. It is so cool. So you have two kids, two girls who are 11 and 7. Now, becoming a partner at a law firm, that is not an easy task, I would imagine. How did you kind of manage the day-to-day of motherhood and working? Because I imagine you've worked for a while now.
Yeah, no, I've worked through it ever since I got out of law school. So I've been doing this for 13 years or so now. I guess it's a number of things. I have a very supportive husband, and I think that's critical for all professional women, and having a real balance. And there's always a, you know, back and forth on what that balance looks like on a day-to-day basis. But I, generally have the benefit of a partner who really supports my career as much as he supports his own. And so I think that's critical. Part of the reason why we live back in Salt Lake City, we lived in Seattle for quite a while and also in Colorado, but we live here because my family's here and his family's here. And so we have a lot of help from my mother, basically, and our extended family. And so the mantra, it takes a village, is certainly the case with us and has been when my kids were littler. And yeah, it's just a partnership and a group effort. And I think it works out to the benefit of my kids because they don't get to only have to deal with me. So
yes, I find that 100% true. And that partnership is so important. I find when the balance is off between who's doing what, it just breeds resentment. And
it's
really easy to fall into that trap.
Well, it's, I think the striving for balance is maybe a misnomer because you just never have it. Right. My husband has a demanding career as well. In normal times, we both travel for work. So it's like, you know, balancing it out over the time, because it'll be way, you know, in one someone's favor, you know, in terms of the demand on the other versus, you know, and it just works back and forth. Depending on what's going on in our lives at a given time. So hopefully it all balances out. He would probably argue it balances out in my favor, but we would argue about that.
Right. I absolutely 100% know that struggle. We're talking with Ashley Peck. She's a partner at the law firm called Holland and Hart, talking and spotlighting a career woman who is doing big things in the Salt Lake City market. So we'll take a break more with Ashley when we come back on The Mom Show.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. We are spotlighting a career woman in Salt Lake City, somebody who has done big things. And our guest today has done big things. She's Ashley Peck. She's a partner at the law firm called Holland and Hart. She's an environmental lawyer, so much smarter than I am. And I just give praise to you, Ashley, for all the things that that you do. So we talked a little bit last segment about what you do and what your work does. But talk to me sort of about coming up as your kids were young. You have two kids, 11 and 7, two girls. And my kids right now are 6 and 2. So I'm in that like young motherhood stage where I'm still balancing childcare, and I still have one toddler at home the entire time and one kid in school. And I'm just still kind of walking through like, how do I balance being with them, but not wanting to be with them and like wanting to work, but also, you know, like hiring childcare. How did you manage all of that?
I guess a variety of different ways over the course. I think it's really hard when you have little ones. When my first daughter was an infant, we actually had a nanny, and that worked out really well. She actually lived on our street and had her own daughter, and so they were the same age. And we were just really fortunate to find that. My mother also came up to Seattle and lived with us when she was a tiny baby for like 6 months. And so we were really lucky there too, but it was her only grandchild. And so that is what ultimately pulled us back to Utah, and then we had our second daughter too, and my mom has helped off and on, and now my kids are in a great Montessori school and have been since my youngest one started at 18 months, and then my oldest daughter goes there too. It goes actually all the way through high school, and they've just done really well there. So I think it's easier for us now that they're school age. And we used to have aftercare, but we found during the pandemic, I guess a silver lining when we're both working from home, that it's really not that hard for us to leave work, go pick up our kids, you know, check in with them, and then get some work done at the end of the day. And hasn't been too much of a hardship. So I think we'll be doing more of that as this goes back to normal. We're not having to travel, which is kind of nice. And so this is sort of an odd time in that it's been better in some ways in terms of flexibility.
Yeah.
So, but a variety of different things over just mishmash of what worked at the time, basically.
Yeah.
And a lot of balancing and partnership.
That's so true, though, that saying it takes a village is so true. I mean, you've literally had your relatives move to where you are to help you take care of your kids. And I feel like we're losing that concept a little bit in our just modern age. Yeah, we don't live communally anymore. We don't live with families. We don't have children to work on the farms anymore. Like, that's not why we have kids. And so...
No, but it's nice to have family around. I guess the other thing I'd say, so I've also had the benefit of a workplace that had flexible flex time policies. So, and we offer those for both men and women. So after I had both of my daughters, I was on a reduced schedule of about 80%, which is still in lawyer hours, probably a full-time job, but allowed me a little bit more flexibility and time with my infant. So I would do that over again too, if I did it again.
It's so important. Yeah, it is so important for businesses to, like, that makes me want to work for your company and I'm not a lawyer. Like, if you offered me that incentive of flexible time when I had babies, like, I feel like our culture these days just makes us choose. And I recognize that it is the bottom line, right? Businesses have to make money. They have to have the work done. Like, I totally get that. But we sometimes just act like women don't have families. And we do this for men too, right? It's not just women, but certainly women are impacted in different ways. And so, I wish every business could be like that. But talk to me about how you're a partner at a law firm. I mean, I imagine it's a pretty male-dominated industry. What experiences have you come across that have really struck you as, maybe we need to fix that a little bit?
Yeah, I guess I would just say generally, and this is probably the case for a lot of male-dominated industries, but I was the president of Women Lawyers of Utah last year. We commissioned studies on this to look at the issues that face women and cause women to leave the workplace. But the percentage of women that are members of the bar here in Utah is in the 20th percentile. So it's a pretty low number, and it's surprising to a lot of us to see that. So I think one of the big issues is representation. If you don't see successful women ahead of you in the corporate structure, you don't, and see how someone else navigated all of these issues and found their way, it's really hard. And the vast majority of workplaces, legal workplaces in Utah, don't have that. So I've really, it's an issue that's near and dear to my heart. At Holland & Hart, we're fortunate to have our managing partner out of Denver is a woman. We have a pretty high percentage of women female equity partners for a law firm. We could still do better because all law firms could do better. But I feel like we are very intentional about retention and implementing policies that benefit parents, not just women, and single them out as the parents in a relationship. And so I think businesses need to be deliberate about it because it's an institutional bias, you know, when it comes right down to it. It's in a male dominated industry. It's worked for men because that's who has been operating in the industry. And so we need to make that, you know, change that, diversify that, and have more women like me that are in management or in, you know, equity positions to be examples and to make policies better.
Well, yeah. And also, just if you're in a leadership position, you can set the policy that says, hey, we need to make this a little more friendly so we can retain more women, so we can have more women coming up through the ranks of lawyers, because our schedules that we provide for them aren't working and we're not keeping any.
Yeah. So we're very deliberate. I think, about, you know, if we lose people, why did we lose them, and being, you know, reflective and intentional, and making sure that we're doing everything that we can insofar as our policies. It's a work in progress and there's always room for improvement, but I feel like it is something that is a core value for us and for the firm and for most of the people and the partners there. And so hopefully we're on the right track.
Yeah, it's so important. Ashley Peck is a partner at the law firm of Holland and Hart. Ashley, I'll just leave you with the final word. What advice do you want to give to other women who are up and coming, either in the legal profession or just maybe even young moms out there who are trying to figure out how they balance, and maybe balance is the wrong word because I know people don't like that word, but how to navigate all the different aspects of motherhood and working?
Yeah. Oh, so many things. I guess I would say, I think every career is a marathon and not a sprint. That's been advice that has been helpful to me along the path, because when your kids are little and you feel like you're being pulled in a million directions, it feels impossible. It's not. I think you have to stick it out and have grit and determination, and eventually things will change and things will be easier and just better. But it's hard to see that in the moment sometimes. So I think you have to think of things long-term. Another, I think, with bias and expectations of women in the workplace, I think it's important to not let those get to you. So to not be too worried about expectations about how women are supposed to behave in the workplace, how they're supposed to act, because we're just on this tightrope of doing too much or too little. And I think you can get really caught up in that if you focus on it too much, and you kind of need to ignore that bias, do what you need to do to be good in your career, and hopefully things are changing on that front.
Yeah. Ashley Peck, she is a partner at the law firm Holland and Hart here in Salt Lake City. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me this week on The Mom Show.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.